Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 30th of March, recording at 8:57 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, as I usually do, I'll have a quick review of the week. Global stock markets were generally steady, and with many of them near the higher side of their trading ranges over the last couple of months. And government bonds have been a little bit soft here. Yields have been edging up, particularly in Europe. And the US dollar has been soft generally, although mostly trading on either side of the 83 level against the US dollar index, and it's below that at the moment. Metals, all metals have been generally quite firm, and that has continued through today. They are all up in here today. And in the grain and bean complex, well, this seems to be a case of buy the rumor and sell the story, or sell the news, because the much-awaited report, USDA report on acreage for plantings, came out, and what happened? All the grains and beans sold off in here today, and they're down fairly sharply, 18 to 20 ticks, so on, that type of thing. And crude oil, the whole energy sector, well, it's really been strong in here this week, with the help of, no doubt, of the Iranian situation regarding the 15 British troops that were seized in Iraqi waters while on a UN mission. And I have to say, though, that I certainly think we would have seen oil higher this week anyway, because that's been the recent trend. The price action's really been quite firm. And in terms of soft commodities, cocoa has been one of the star performers in here. Some of the others got knocked back a little bit in line with the setback in the grains and beans. Okay, quick drink to help this slightly still scratchy voice. So, what's going on? Where are markets going? Well, this is an environment where quiet is good. Quiet is good, preferable to volatility, because what we are actually seeing, and I think we'll continue to see, is this ranging process, which is the reversion to the mean in terms not of earnings, but in terms of the 200-day moving averages best seen on the weekly charts that I have, of course, posted on many occasions. Now, as you know, stock markets earlier this year had, and actually starting last autumn into year end, had pushed very persistently and strongly up and away from those 200-day moving averages, becoming overextended in the process. It was something that stood out very clearly. And so what we've been seeing is a bigger reaction and ranging phase. And once that started, of course, with the drama on the 27th of February, a lot of people said, well, that's it. Here we're going into a bear market. Well, I don't see any evidence of that. I didn't at the time, and I don't see any reason why that should be the case now. Not that there aren't problems, which I'll come to in a moment. But again, I just maintain that this is a lengthy reaction and consolidation phase, and that it will be resolved with some additional strength and by most global stock markets. Meanwhile, I would be surprised if markets romped up into new high ground to any great extent. Again, I mostly look for the sideways activity overall. And markets have certainly gone some way towards correcting some, certainly not all, but some of the excesses that we had seen late last year and earlier this year. Now, What's doing well in here? Well, the best of the action is in the so-called much derided old economy sector. And you might have noticed how well metals have been performing recently, how well mining shares have been performing. And there's a good report that I posted in here today from Citigroup on the steel industry. And if you look at some of those steel stocks, well, they look fantastic on the charts, and their valuations are still really quite cheap, much, much cheaper than valuations for the S&P 500 index generally. And one of the reasons these are still cheap is that, again, people feel that it's a highly cyclical industry. And they're also concerned about the U.S. economic slowdown and possibly some contagion there. And so they're concentrating on that, and that's what they've seen before. If you go back to the last decade, the one before that, and so on, we've seen that type of environment where we have seen either a depressed sector in terms of mining and steel companies. And people do not expect, well, they have been surprised, I should say, by the extent to which demand has held up. But they shouldn't be surprised, because just look at where the demand is actually coming from. And it's an old story, so just very briefly, you know, that's this vast portion of the globe that previously had more abundant economic systems, China, India, most of Central and South America, certainly the Middle East. Now look at all the Eastern Europe. Now look at the infrastructure programs that are taking place, and of course the wealth creation that's taking place, and that will lead to the demand, is leading to the demand for the consumer goods. And some of those are big ticket metal intensive items, such as cars and refrigerators and washing machines and dishwashers and so on. So we have the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme for the industrial resources, and it spills over quite strongly into the product suppliers as well, such as the steel companies. So these are really terrific areas. And the other theme that I like, which is not unrelated to that, is emerging markets, particularly the Asian emerging market growth. All emerging market growth has been really quite good. I just regard the Asian emerging growth as being a little bit better quality, or I'll put it this way, a little bit safer overall. And I think it's going to run and run, led by China and India. Both China and India's stock markets currently, though, as you know, are expensive. Now, this doesn't diminish the long-term story one iota. And anytime they come off, one really does want to be buying those two markets above all others when they come off, as they do from time to time. And I think that those who take a long-term view, as I am doing, can certainly hold on to China and India and ride out the medium-term corrections. The next time that we will have to be seriously worried, I think, is when we really do have factors that could cause a global bear market. Now, before I get on to that subject, just of course think how closely related the Asian emerging growth and the resources themes are. They feed off each other. Now, what could go wrong here? Well, all sorts of things. No more in this particular environment than any other, but you know, it's a difficult old tricky world, and things are going to go wrong. First, inflationary pressures are building up. And that's something that I've long forecast. I've said it would start very gradually. It wouldn't be exponential. This would occur in rolling waves overall. And we certainly are seeing plenty of resources inflation. And I think that's likely to continue. But there's good and bad luck at play in all this. For instance, if we get the good luck of good crops and stable weather in the growing regions, or weather that is not destroying crops, then that will cause less inflationary pressure in terms of food prices. If there are fewer strikes and breakdowns in the extraction industries, then we will get less dramatic moves on the upside in terms of oil and industrial metals, and that would help to keep inflationary pressures under control somewhat. And of course, globalization has been the big leveler of inflationary pressures in terms of the very, very competitive manufacturing industries. But the costs for that sector are pushing upwards, and they're pushing upwards from resources, and they're also pushing upwards from wages as wealth is created in these regions. And then, of course, we've got all the printing of money that's been taking place. Owen's posted a good article on that, good report on that, in here today. Just look at those statistics. So the paper euros and the paper yuan and the paper dollars and the paper pounds and the paper rubles, the paper everything, keeps getting churned out, and that, of course, is adding to future inflationary pressures. So that's the really big danger here. And at some point, this will become a sufficient problem, rather, a sufficient problem that central banks will have to act aggressively at the expense of GDP growth. And when that happens, we're going to get one swingeing bear market decline. Certainly won't be the end of the world. We've seen bear markets before, but it will be, I think, fairly traumatic for a lot of investors, as bear markets always are. And I, for one, will want to be mainly out of equities in that environment, and I suspect many of you will feel exactly the same way. So we do need to watch out for that. I have been saying that I didn't think that we were going to see a bear market before 2009, 2010, at the earliest. Now, if we get bad luck and we see various conflicts or problems with production that push resources prices much higher sooner rather than later, well, that can bring that closer. If the subprime problems in the United States spilled throughout the entire, well, or infected the entire economy, and that contagion spread around the globe and caused a global recession, well, we would see that bear market as well. But I don't think that's going to happen. As you know, I think the U.S. will just manage to escape without a recession, helped by the ample amount of money that the Fed is willing to keep in the economy or to pump into the economy, and also the strength generally elsewhere. But things can go wrong. Stuff happens, to coin a phrase. So we need to be ever watchful, and of course, we watch the markets every single day. And we do here at Fuller Money, and you people do yourselves in the reports and your own look through the chart libraries and so on. Okay, don't want to digress too much in here. The canaries in the coal mine, as I describe them, in terms of those eventual problems, the most important ones would be bond yields. We're very unlikely to see a bear market in equities without seeing a prior and fairly steep climb in long-dated government bond yields. It's not a problem today, but it will be one day. And we need to watch the dollar. Were that to fall too quickly, that could cause problems. That's the least of my concerns, actually, because although the dollar is going to go lower and does need to go lower, and the U.S. economy certainly needs a softer dollar, that given the overall environment of competitive devaluation by stealth, there are too many other countries that will help to keep the dollar in a gradual overall decline rather than any sort of free fall route, which would be a lose-lose type of situation for all countries. So that's to say is the least of my concerns, but it doesn't mean that it can't happen. Or you can get degrees. We could get a drop in the dollar that was sufficiently rapid to create the feeling of a crisis for a while. That would certainly be a problem, but it's certainly not happening at the moment. What will concern me more is upward pressure on these resources prices, of which crude oil is the most important by far. And if people think that that's a rather modest risk, well, just bear in mind that we've had oil trading over $66 in here today, and it wasn't all that long ago when all those experts were telling you that it was going back to 40. Well, I didn't believe it then, and I don't believe it now, and I believe that, as I've said all along, that we had that bottom at 50, and that marked the end of the medium-term correction, and prices are moving on back upwards. And at some point, if not this year, next year, we're going to see new highs for crude oil prices. Now, provided the move on the upside is gradual, that's not going to cause too many problems overall. Moving on, government bonds. Don't like the sector. I think it's extremely useful, though, for us because, again, as I describe it, it's the canary in the coal mine. Here we want to keep an eye on those yields. Also, when government bonds rally, as they have, as they did not long ago, that does create some short selling opportunities overall. And so there will be trading opportunities from time to time. The only time I would consider buying long dated government bonds would be when that next bear market beckons, and there will be a moment when but that moment will be preceded, as I mentioned before, by quite a sharp spike in long dated government bond yields. Okay, moving on to the currencies, there are two weak ones, and they're going to stay weak generally, and that's the US dollar. It is propped up a bit by the high interest rates. The other one is the Japanese yen, and then Dhaka is a big factor in here. I've said it many times before, and I think it's a point worth repeating, that Ndaka, of course, is the Japanese word that was invented to describe living with a strong yen. And there is a generation of government monetary officials out there who were so scarred by the experience of that super strong yen that they are determined to avoid it at any cost. And if a government wants to have a soft currency, it can just keep the interest rates down and make sure that you print plenty of the stuff. And that's exactly what the Japanese are doing with the yen, and they're going to go on doing that. So the carry trade is not over. And it's not on the way out. The carry trade isn't going to end until the Japanese government wants it to end. And that is not going to happen anytime soon. Now, therefore, the yen will strengthen really periodically when there are frights in terms of global markets. And then, as people will cash in and reduce their exposure overall, then we'll see the yen rally temporarily. And when the dust settles and leveraged positions are increased once again, particularly hedge fund positions, then we'll see the yen start to weaken once again. That's the type of pattern that I would look for. Industrial resources, I may have pretty well covered that, but I think they're going to stay stronger for longer than most people envisage. And this makes the mining companies absolutely outstanding buys. There are a number of different funds with which to play these. MLW again hit another new high in here today. These have come back into form, and I think that the only thing that can cause them to slide back and do badly will be if we get another global stock market correction otherwise of magnitude, and I'm not expecting that now. So I think this is a good environment here overall for this resources sector, as I've mentioned. It's one of the best stories going, and it has been for a number of years. Then we had that long medium-term correction following the accelerated move up to peaks within that mining sector back last April and May, and they're resuming their moves on the upside once again. Okay, precious metals, extremely bullish. All we have to do is consider all the paper currency that's being produced and the fact that no government wants a strong currency. And that leaves us with gold and other precious metals as hard money, and that they will continue to have a monetary role to play in the eyes of investors, if not others. Now, precious metals are also high-tech metals, and they're going to remain in demand for that reason as well. And then there's the jewelry demand. So those three factors, wealth creation, increasing the demand for jewelry, all the paper that's paper currency that's being printed, increasing the monetary interest in the precious metals, and then demand from the high-tech industry, which continues to rise, makes that a very, very good story overall. Last but not least, what about the agricultural commodities? Well, it's really all down to the weather. And that's going to be a win-some, lose-some type of situation overall. But the main difference now, relative to previous years and even previous decades, is that global stockpiles are generally lower. Not all of them, but they're certainly lower than they were, and some of them are quite low. That's one background factor. And also, demand has been increasing. And that demand growth is really quite strong overall. So the world really does require quite benign growing conditions here to satisfy that demand, and that will not always be the case. So we will get some isolated explosive moves on the upside in the food sector. And that's pretty much it, I think, for another week. I know it is, and I'm relieved to have gotten through this audio without the voice cracking too much. So I'll just say I hope you all have an absolutely splendid weekend, and I look forward to more audios and comments of the day for you, and more reports from you, and emails, of course, this splendid next week and beyond. All the very best.